Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. The Last Dance is now on ESPN. If that's not enough, the final episode of Detail on ESPN Plus premieres this Sunday. In this episode, Phil Jackson analyzes the deciding Game 6 that resulted in Michael Jordan's parting shot that earned Chicago its sixth title and second three-peat championship in 8 years. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. Here's your SportsCenter update. A PGA Tour memo has outlined the safety protocols for the tour's upcoming tournaments. Players, caddies, and various tournament officials and employees will be sent pre-travel screening tests. They also will be required to take nasal swab or saliva test upon arrival. UFC President Dana White expects the lightweight unification bout between champion Khabib and interim champ Justin Gaethje to happen on Fight Island this summer. I can't say Khabib's last name. I can't even say Gaethje's last name. I just did it. And finally, Netflix has acquired the rights to the book The Girls of Summer to possibly create a movie about the 1999 United States women's national team. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We will get to a question that Stu Gatz has been asking me almost every day since my wedding about my wedding in just a second.
No way.
But yes, I have not answered this question. He's been asking me since October. We're going to get to it in just a second. But before we do that, I just need to go to Billy on something because Mike Ryan, when we went to break there, Mike Ryan said on air that it was worth it to buy Undertaker dirt for $88 because of how he loves wrestling. And then we went off air and he said, mumbled to no one in particular, I would have paid $200. He wasn't even doing show. He was just, being introspective. And, first of all, Billy is laughing at all of this in a number of ways, but Billy has also realized, as many of us have, man, there is no sport that needs fans more than wrestling needs fans. Like wrestling, the whole thing is so silly. Like, it's silly under normal circumstances, but it is so silly when you're talking about wrestling not having fans. So, Billy, what made you come to this conclusion here?
So, Sunday was Money in the Bank, a pay-per-view, which isn't pay-per-view because it's free when you have the subscription. Anyways, so I'm watching Money in the Bank, and their whole thing this year, first of all, I watched WrestleMania. I'm a casual wrestling observer, and I kind of need the oohs and the ahs of the crowd to let me know something spectacular or something is just kind of normal. When I'm watching them do these moves, I'm like, is that a signature move? That just looks like a move to me. I don't know if this is a big moment or not. I kind of need the crowd to tell me if what I'm watching is good or not, because I don't really know what's going on. The Money in the Bank, they tried to tweak this year, and they had them going up and down the corporate headquarter building, and they finished the match on the roof of the building. Problem was, there was lots of kind of acting involved, and it was kind of more of like a comical thing where they had like these punchlines and these things with like, in the middle of the match, they broke out into like a food fight, and I was like, I feel like we're just kind of we're trying to not just have empty arena matches, which is what every other match was. So I guess that's what they're going for. But it didn't really work for me. Like, I didn't kind of get what they were doing. They had this guy, R-Truth, which I thought was actually pretty funny. He'd go out to the crowd that wasn't there, and he'd, like, hold the microphone to the crowd to, like, sing along with him and, like, just pull it back as though there was still a crowd there, but there wasn't. I just feel like wrestling needs the crowd to explain to me, a casual viewer, what's going on.
At Levitard Show on Twitter is where you go if you want to answer the polls. The poll question is there anything in life that Dan dreads more than Billy's first of all as a phrase? Mike Ryan, as a wrestling fan, I assume that you agree with this.
Oh, yeah. It's a hard watch, particularly the WWE, because our friend Tony Khan in AEW is doing some really good stuff. Billy mentioned the comedy aspect. They had a main event that fought all throughout not just the arena that they were at in Jacksonville, which is walking distance from the actual stadium that the Jaguars play. They started fighting in the Jaguars facility, and it was hilarious.
There was a golf cart involved.
Someone got run over by a golf cart. Someone got shoved in an ice machine. There were multiple wardrobe changes. Someone got hit with a cone. It was really good. So, yeah, this is forcing some of these companies to be creative in ways that they're not used to being, and some are rising to the occasion, and some are letting us down. And WWE has recently. It's really difficult, and I didn't even consider casual fans tuning in that don't really know much of anything, but it's WrestleMania, and they have no idea who good guy or bad guy is, or what move is a finisher, and what isn't spectacular, as Billy put it, and there's a reason
you
why.
You can't even understand a world that exists where this isn't common knowledge, where everyone doesn't know what is somebody's finishing move.
Yeah. I mean, I wish you would FaceTime me, Billy, and I could walk you through all of this, but it is a very difficult watch at times right now. They're struggling. They need people.
Thank you for all of your contributions to the show at Levitard Show. Brett Michaels going to join us here in about 15 minutes. So go ahead, Stu Gantz. The question that you've been wanting to ask me on air since my wedding, that you ask me every day off air since my wedding in October. Go ahead and have at it. The group is mesmerized here. Has this been a source of, has this been a subject that you guys have been talking about since my wedding? All right, go ahead. All right,
so we asked you who was going to be invited to the wedding, and you revealed to us at one point that Carrot Top was invited but never showed up to the wedding. And every day since you revealed that to us, we've been asking ourselves, and I've been asking you, did Carrot Top ever give a reason?
Well, one of the parts that was disappointing about Carrot Top not being at the wedding is that evidently he was off from his regular gig at the Luxor, and he was also in Florida. But about 2 weeks before the wedding, we got a video from Carrot Top holding up the wedding invitation from his dressing room and saying that he couldn't make it while making a bunch of jokes. And so we didn't know if he was coming or not, because Carrot Top is always on video making a bunch of jokes. So I thought when I was there waiting for my wife, I thought Carrot Top was somewhere in the audience. I thought that he was just going to spring out from behind a shrub or something with a wonderful plume of orange hair and upstage the bride with a prop of some sort, some long, colorful napkin that went a mile from his pocket into the bride's dress. But I never ended up understanding. Like, he apparently, it was a serious message that he couldn't come there, but it was wrapped in so many jokes that I wasn't clear on the fact that he wasn't coming.
He would have been the most famous person at that wedding, not in terms of like outside celebrity, but I mean specifically in terms of excitement to see. We found out Carrot Top was going to be there by sleuthing, or at least we thought he would be there, because Billy uncovered, hey, he's dark on these dates in Vegas, he's from Florida, this makes all perfect sense, he's always FaceTiming with Dan, or probably the other way around, and we were excited to see Carrot Top and take those photos and possibly take shots at a wedding with Carrot Top. And yeah, there's Pat Riley, there's someone else, there's, famous people here, Dan Patrick's there, well, whatever, where's Carrot Top? Let's get to the Carrot Top. I want the photo with Carrot Top. Carrot Top never showed.
But I still feel like we don't have an answer, and Dan really doesn't have an answer and deserves an answer. I don't feel satisfied right now. I've been waiting months for that answer, and you gave it to us, but you don't really have an answer. I mean, let's get riddles. Just tell us why to show up.
But I'm in this respect, I'm as baffled as you guys are. We can call Carrot Top. We'll call him during the break if you want, and we will see if we can get an answer here. Brett Michaels is going to join us at 12:30. I don't know what to tell you though, Stugatz. Like I don't have more of an answer than you do on this. I'm just marveling at the amusing spectacle of it all, because the idea of him at this wedding with you guys wanting to take pictures of him at this wedding is a touch disconcerting. I will say this though. When Guns N' Roses returned, I've told you this story before, when Guns N' Roses returned, their first show was in Vegas. Obviously, that was a difficult ticket. Stugatz, I have rarely, and I have, you know, been around a few famous people and seen the swell around them, I have rarely ever seen the way that his face is in that city ID for him to go wherever it is that he pleases. Like, there was no place that was off limits, and when they asked Carrot Top for identification, he would just point at his face. Like, that was some gangster stuff I was not expecting from Carrot Top. Like, he runs that city more than Wayne Newton or Robert Goulet ever have.
Gets him in anywhere except your wedding.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and our Best of Podcast on Demand in the ESPN app, and subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crepe. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts. This preview for UFC Fight Night, Smith vs. Teixeira, is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
All right, so help me out here with something that happened during the break. And if you want to support the Le Batard and Friends Network, a lot of good stuff so far this week. South Beach Sessions, Bob Costas. For all the fun we had with Stugatz and the fame of Tom Brady in 7 mediocre minutes, people are saying that the Rory McIlroy interview on there was actually very good, so you should check that out. Also, super weird interview, Mystery Crate, where we talked to a lobbyist for Next Gen Meat about the next generation of meats. I was having a hard time believing some of the things that I was hearing. But you just mentioned, can you say that again? What did you just say? It's not something I've heard you say before, and it ties into a conversation I overheard Mike and Roy having during the break.
Yep, this preview for UFC Fight Night, Smith versus Teixeira, is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Okay, and Roy, can you explain to the audience and to us what was the phrase that you used in terms of what this sponsorship is supposed to be?
Content driver.
Okay, that's interesting. So, Stugatz, I am super grateful, right, as we all should be. Any ability to be sponsored by anybody at this time, as things all around us are a bit crazy, I am grateful for, but not so grateful that I'm good with the idea for the first time in our history at ESPN, somebody telling us that we have to talk about something because it's sponsored. So I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get Stugatz's thoughts on Alistair Overeem. Stugatz doesn't know anything, I should probably tell you. So the only content the sponsor's going to get here is me saying again that I'm not going to talk about things just because they're sponsored.
I literally called Mike Ryan during the break asking if Mark Teixeira had crossed over to the UFC. I mean, I had no idea. I mean,
it's a different Teixeira. Yeah, okay. UFC promo, preview the fights, go at it.
And yeah, hey, look, we are naturally, just so that you know, like no one has to force us to talk about UFC. In fact, we were talking about UFC a long time before ESPN became partners with the UFC. This is something, you know, I've always admired Stugatz, even though I know that the fighting sports are super barbaric. I've always admired the courage of anybody who strips down to nothing but their shorts and their vulnerability and steps in to an octagon to fight another man for money to feed his family. And I appreciate the artistic elements even more then I appreciate boxing, and I like boxing because I marvel at the courage of these human beings. I marvel at the science and the art of these human beings. I do not, however, marvel at the idea that anyone's going to tell us that we have to shill on behalf of something just because we have a sponsorship and a partnership. There is one sacred space on this show, and it's you don't tell us what to talk about.
I am perfectly fine with it. Who's more courageous, Smith or Teixeira? Like, you're the expert here, Dan. You brought UFC mainstream. You brought Kimbo Slice to the cover of ESPN, the magazine. You certainly know about who's more courageous, Smith or Teixeira. I think it's Teixeira, personally, but
Thoughts. Yeah, it's a tough one. And guys, Ben Rothwell and Alistair, no. Overeem's on Saturday. Ben Rothwell and Andre Arlovsky are on this card. I mean, those are names that have been around, and it's actually kind of, it's kind of making me a little sad that they're still out here doing this, but I mean, you recognize those games. We talked to Ben Rothwell like 15 years ago. What is he doing out here still? He's won 37 professional fights. This guy's been at this forever.
Stugatz, go look at some photos of early Overeem. It is pretty funny to see the monster that he has physically turned into. He loses an awful lot, but he always looks menacing. Like, there's no dispute that this guy looks like he's going to win every fight he's in.
Yeah, and that lips healed nicely, too, because that was gross.
What do I do? Just Google early Overeem? I mean, how does that work?
Yes, or just Overeem before the steroids, I guess. Steroid allegations.
Horse meat.
Horse meat allegations horse is meat. What it is that I should have said there. Yeah. I am grateful as well, Stugatz, that fighting has returned because these are people that I enjoy watching, even though, as Mike said, that's a whole bunch of heavyweights there who have done a lot of losing over the last 15 years of fighting, because those are some names from the sport that go way back.
So they're just in Jacksonville for like a full-on week doing fights every couple of days? This is crazy. I'm happy to have sports back tonight, but
I was going to say, isn't that cool? Like, you have, like, right in the middle of the week, at a time where there's no sports, we're coming off a great weekend of fights, and now you have Wednesday night fights, and you'll have fights this weekend as well. I mean, you take what you can get at this point, right?
Well, we've often highlighted your ability to fake it through any sort of analysis. What do you have to say about the Ray Borg-Ricky Simon fight there, Stugatz?
I don't think he's got any chance in mixed martial arts. This is something that he could do with veteran backcourt.
Well, they asked us to preview.
Tournament. All right, yeah, they did ask us to preview it, and after I got up on my high horse on my soapbox, after my high horse climbed onto my soapbox,
Alistair Overeem ate the horse that you were on.
You do not tell us what to talk about. We have now broken down nothing but UFC here, so go ahead, Stugatz. The floor is yours. You want to fake it? I think you're going to have to tell him those names again. Otherwise, he is going to get those names
wrong. All right. I'll give him a little bit of information that just Google provides.
This is
Ricky Simon versus Ray Borg. It's a bantamweight fight. Ricky Simon is 15-3. Ray Bork, is 13-4.
Right. Cyborg, I think some people call him. Listen, I love Ricky Simon in this fight, okay? He's a little bit quicker, much better kicker. In fact, one of the most powerful kickers in the game. And kicking in UFC is so important because I am telling you can sneak those feet, and if they're quick enough with those kicks, I learned this from my buddy Jorge Masvidal, who I think is the best kicker in the game right now. And I am telling you, Ricky Simon, people call him Simon Says, Ricky Simon is one of the best kickers, probably top five in the game. And what I learned is you can see the hands coming. But you know what you can't see? You can't see the feet coming if they're quick enough. And Ricky Simon has the better leg game, the better kicking game, and therefore I like Ricky Simon, Simon Says, over Cyborg. How about that? That preview for UFC Fight Night, Smith vs. Mark Teixeira, was brought to you by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's your SportsCenter update. A PGA Tour memo has outlined the safety protocols for the tour's upcoming tournaments. Players, caddies, and various tournament officials and employees will be sent pre-travel screening tests. They also will be required to take nasal swab or saliva test upon arrival. UFC President Dana White expects the lightweight unification bout between champion Khabib and interim champ Justin Gaethje to happen on Fight Island this summer. And finally, a Facebook group in which users pretend to be an ant colony has grown to more than 1.8 million members since social distancing procedures to prevent the spread of COVID-19 were implemented in the United States. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
He's the front man for Poison. Poison sold more than 45 million records, excuse me. Brett Michaels with us on ESPN Radio. He's got a new book out. Brett, thank you for making the time for us. When you explored the idea of writing this, how vulnerable did you decide to go? How much of your life did you chronicle here, and did you go to many of the places that were hard to go to?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I just want to say good morning and thanks for having me on. And I hope both you, everyone there in the studio, is healthy and doing awesome through all the pandemic. I hope you guys are good. And just wanted to say on this book, I've been writing it for a while, and I hand wrote every single note, and I decided to step outside of behind the music and some of the stuff that's been out there for years and years and just do a deep dive. And growing up in Pennsylvania, you know, I grew up in Pittsburgh, and then my dad was in the military, so we moved around a bit. We ended up at the Inland Naval Depot in Mechanicsburg or Harrisburg. But I just talk about all the things that goes behind ever even getting to a chance to play on the stage. And it does a deep dive. And it's the reason I wrote it in volumes is it stays current. It stays. I even wrote as close up to what's going on right now in the world as the new opening of the book. And I got to write about the crazy time I had on The Masked Singer, going all the way back to being born, you know, and just randomly going through the stories and the pictures.
You're aware, though, Brett, that what people will want from this is the sex and the drugs, right?
Oh, there's plenty of that in there. You got to have both. But I said the thing is, though, you got to do it in volumes for me, because a lot of that has been out there. The chronicles of the fist fights with me and CeCe, the sex, the drugs, the backstage parties, and then diving into both the youth, the party, the craziness, the insanity. And then it tells you the moment of impact. When you write something yourself, you're able to discuss exactly what was happening, what you were thinking before it, after it. I was even going down to where I take the pieces of paper, and if it was back to the Polaroid days, I was literally scotch tape them on to the timestamp, the moment of the story.
Tell us about the fist fights.
They were good. They were good. Me and CeCe, we had, you know, when people talk about a fist fight, I'm not talking about a couple of those chest bump, push, shove. I'm talking about knockdown, drag out, New Orleans style fist fight. One of our best ones, we were at Archie Manning's bar. He had a bar in New Orleans, And then all of a sudden, me and CeCe had a few words, and we just, listen, the truth is we're like brothers, but you're on the road every day together, and eventually the littlest thing can throw you. And we started arguing about something, whether it was a song in the set list, somebody at the bar, whatever it was, a sports team. And the next thing you know, we were going at it. They separated us, went back to the hotel, and then threw down. The elevator door opened. CeCe did one of the best, I'm going to say, true wrestling/UFC moves I've ever seen. Took me down. I got up. I'll say this. I lost a tooth. I broke his nose. And it was a good fight. It was a good fight.
Bret Michaels with us on ESPN Radio. A Poison frontman. Check out his biography because he's got a new one out. It's called, forgive me if I'm wrong, is it Bret Michaels Scrapography?
Yeah, it's autoscrapography, and it's the lack of a better, I won't give you the long-winded version. It's basically an autobiographical scrapbook diary that I just handwrote myself, and it talks about everything. And I grew up, a funny chapter I think we sent to you all was, you know, I called it plywood paneling in the rock jock. So my room has a poster of Terry Bradshaw on one side of my shoulder and Jimmy Page on the other side. And I had to panel it because I put 1,000 scotch tape photos on my dad's freshly painted wall. That didn't go over big. So I panel over it and I said, I grew up loving sports and music. And it's funny that both right now I am truly, when it is healthy, safe, and we're ready, I cannot wait, not wait to get to a sporting, whether baseball, football in the preseason. And I'm just ready. I'm ready.
Give us a couple of the details, Bret, on that you would use to illustrate just how reckless Poison was in the early days.
Well, let me say this. Reckless then, reckless now, because I love to party and have a good time. And I think when you're hands-on like our band, you got to remember, a lot of people forget this. Poison was truly an independent band. Like when I say we came from Pennsylvania, drove across the country, we were living it daily then and now. And it was the greatest thing that happened to us as we kept all of our publishing and our own record label, Cyanide Music. And our signing day, our super mega party signing day on an independent record was us sitting on the ground. This is no lie. El Segundo, California, in a warehouse, shrink wrapping our albums. That was our signing day. And then we would just go out. And every party, because at first you don't have tour buses, you're driving yourself. And then when the tour buses came, it got out of control because now you have time between cities to party insanely. And one of the stories on there is called Going Down the Road on a Crazy Bus. And it's just one of many occasions, but you take a moment, it gives you a snapshot of the insanity going on in the bus. But I just thought it was a good time. To me, I didn't look at it like that. It was actually normal, you know what I mean, having a good party, and then it just slips out of control.
Describe that for us, please.
Yes, here we go. All right, so I know what you're looking for. So let's just say this. There is all, you know, band on the bus, crew on the bus, someone crawling around in the ground looking for bits of substance that might have been falling off the table with a few rolled up dollar bills. There may have been some beer bottles broken, a lot of beautiful women that traveled on to the next city, and I'll leave it at that. It was good.
When and how did your life change, or did you realize that your life had changed from the beginning to the parts that would get tempting?
Well, it doesn't. I don't know that you ever know there's a graduation day. It's sort of just if you go out there and you love what you're doing. I mean, I still throw the best. I'm telling you, one of the best parties backstage. I meet the fans. We have a great time. I treat them great. They come out. You know, it goes from the backstage, and then if it's going to go on, it goes out to the party. But as a lifelong, I say this, a type 1 diabetic, I had to find a balance in there, and I think that's probably the best thing that's happened to me, is it saved me when a lot of my friends went down off the edge, being a type 1 diabetic and 5 injections a day since I've been 6. It pulled me back enough to be able to enjoy it, to kind of find a little bit of a balance in there to have the longevity. And if all gets healthy, be out on a stadium tour with Def Leppard and Poison and Motley and Joan Jett, if and when, you know, it's healthy for the fans, the bands, the crew, everybody.
When and How, again, the name of the book is Autoscrapography, Brett Michaels' Autoscrapography. When would you say was the reckless time? When would you say was the dangerous time in the history of poison where you were able to stand back from it, observe it, and be like, man, this is a bit out of control?
Yeah, I would say that was definitely 89 into 92. About 88, 89 ran into 92 where there's a moment where I literally wrote there, when it becomes, this is what I said, when it becomes normal that you lift your legs, you're watching Scarface, you're cranking up music, there's people you have no idea who they are traveling with you to the next city, and everyone's partying, listening to music. In the moment, you're loving it. But when that becomes normal, when throwing up drunk, crawling around in the ground looking for crumbs of whatever wonderful white cocaine was laying on the ground that they had lost on when the bus would bounce, you know, and you go, this is normal. Then you go, it may be a little out of control.
What was the bigger problem, booze or drugs?
I'm going to, you know, for each individual person, it was a different, let's say a different substance, but I would combine both of those. I would say both.
Is there anything that you found particularly scary from within that? Like whether it was happening to you or happening to one of your bandmates?
Yeah, well, this is, as a friend, even though people talk about the fist fights, all of us are best friends. We grew up together. We fought through all this together. And I think the toughest thing is when you watch somebody start to lose control, when you would watch whether one of the band members, one of your crew, that was literally starting to turn gray. We call it ashen gray. And you know it's bad. That's when it starts to hit you as a friend. You know, you realize it's a party, but the good time's gone to a really sort of an ugly, bad time, and now they're unhealthy and addicted, and that's when it gets, as a friend, you go, nah, enough's enough, man. We gotta get them figured out, or it's going to go bad. And I know all of us have been there, but it's tough to watch it happen to somebody.
Brett Michaels' Autoscrapography details all of this stuff in a way that is visual, and you can really get an intimate portrait of what it is that was happening there. The sex part of the lifestyle, when you hear some of the stories backstage of the demeaning of women, was there any point where you were looking around and saying, this isn't right what it is that we're doing around here?
Well, let me correct that right away. There was no demeaning. It was a party. Music's primitive. And I've said this very openly in the book. There was no like demeaning of it. They come to the shows. We party, have a great time. No one was coerced, forced. It was just everyone having a good time. And I think then just a little more accepted than it is now. But like I said, I mean, music, it takes different turns and different things. But I think all of it was, to me, it was a good time. People were having a great time. And that's just the way we left it then and now. People, no one's forced to come back there. No one's being put down. Everyone's just having a party.
I was just sort of thinking of the stories where band members, not yours necessarily, throw cold cuts at women. You've heard, I mean, you certainly know all of these stories. Like that you guys didn't partake in this does not mean that at that time there weren't a whole lot of people partaking in the demeaning.
Right. And I, of course you hear of them, but that stuff, I don't mean to be that guy, but that stuff goes on even now with the, even current music, things that are happening. Whether that does for us, for me, I can only speak for, again, for me, just not, that's not my scene. That's not, there was nothing about demeaning somebody. As I said in the beginning of the book, mine's about thank you, gratitude, happy to be doing what I love and having a great time. And that party, you know, is fun. It's awesome. Everyone's having an awesome time. And I think that's what it details. But each person has to tell their own story. For me, there's no part of me that got off putting someone down, whether it's a human or anything, just not my thing.
So 88 to 92 was the heyday, a little bit after the 86 Celtics and before the 97 Bulls, which begs the question, Brett, 86 Celtics versus 97 Bulls, who wins?
Boy, that's a tough one. Yeah. I'm watching the whole, they're having a whole breakdown on that right now. Oh, and I'm trying to watch both, but that would be, Well, it has been, but that would be a game of insanity right there. Two of the greatest teams ever.
Yep. Who wins, though?
Brett, no, stop. Just stop. Brett, thank you. Yeah, no, we don't know. Good answer. That's a good answer, Brett. Thank you.
I don't know. It didn't happen. I mean, it's so, yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right. Brett Michaels, Auto Scrapography, is available now. You should see the smile on Stu Gatz's face. He updates the polls next.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
The Last Dance concludes this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Immediately after the show airs, listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby, The After Show, presented by State Farm and AT&T. The guys will be joined by director Jason Ayer to talk about this week's show and behind-the-scenes stories of the making of the episode. Subscribe now to Jalen and Jacoby, The After Show on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts.
A lot of polls today at Lebatard Show. You can vote. We are down to our two finalists in our Looks Like tournament. We will tell you who those two finalists are tomorrow at Lebatard Show on Twitter. Stu Gatz, go ahead and start updating the polls. We've got a bunch.
Yes, at Lebatard Show on Twitter. I only said that again, repeating exactly what it is you just said, because I'm filibustering trying to get down to the first poll from today, which
but
I found.
You had all break to do that, Stu.
Yeah,
Gatz.
But listen, the internet connection went out, and then I quickly had to go to a separate internet, a secret internet connection, which I did quickly.
Oh, stop.
You didn't even know
I
did it.
Just go. We've got 11 of them. Just go.
Would you drink every night if you lived in Buffalo? Good question. 89% of the audience said yes. Does the person who starts a thought with, I hate to tell you this, really enjoy to tell you it? 94% of the audience said yes. Are stand-up comedians brave? Really?
They are.
70% of the audience said yes. I mean, sir, what are we doing here? Brave? I mean... Stugatz, nurses,
the biggest,
brave.
The biggest,
doctors,
the,
brave.
The big, I mean, oh, there it is. Okay, yeah. Very good.
Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, is it fair to call Sammy Watkins a bit of a bust? I think it is. I mean, I'm with Dan on this one. 75% of the audience said yes. Are you stunned by how vigorously Mike Ryan felt the need to defend Sammy Watkins? We were all stunned.
It really was surprising.
80% of the audience said yes, Mike. Sorry. Is 9 a.m. too early to be doing cocaine? 51% of the audience said yes.
Really? That low?
Yep.
That low.
Does Stan Van Gundy hate Michael Jordan?
For the love of God.
84% of the audience said yes. He'll be back on tomorrow to defend himself. Are you showering more or less often during the quarantine? 45% of the audience said no.
Well, that wasn't the right question. The question was supposed to be, are you showering every day during the quarantine? I don't know what that question and answer are.
Is there anything in life that Dan dreads more than Billy's first of all? 85% of the audience said no.